In America's culture wars, few issues have remained as divisive as abortion. What began as a clear-cut battle over fundamental rights has evolved into a complex conflict over policy consequences, medical authority, and competing visions of American society. The abortion debate reflects our deepest divisions about gender equality, religious freedom, family structure, and scientific expertise. This transformation hasn't created compromise, but instead revealed how profoundly Americans disagree about who deserves decision-making power over women's bodies and lives. As state legislatures become the new battlegrounds following Roe's reversal, understanding this history helps explain why abortion remains such a persistent flashpoint in American politics. After Roe v. Wade in 1973, anti-abortion groups initially pursued a constitutional amendment banning abortion. When this failed in the mid-1970s, organizations like the National Right to Life Committee shifted to incremental restrictions with new justifications beyond fetal rights, emphasizing benefits to women, parents, and taxpayers. The Hyde Amendment exemplified this approach, framed as respecting taxpayer conscience rather than protecting fetal life. Senator Joe Biden urged colleagues to keep the federal government out of this issue. Meanwhile, abortion rights organizations had to develop new strategies when the court upheld funding bans in cases like Harris v. McRae. By the 1980s, with Reagan's election, anti-abortion groups abandoned constitutional amendment efforts, focusing instead on changing the court's composition while pursuing incremental restrictions. This approach required sophisticated arguments about abortion's alleged harms to women's health, family structures, and society. What began as a debate about absolute rights transformed into battles over empirical claims and policy outcomes, creating battlegrounds where opposing sides developed fundamentally different understandings of basic facts. After Roe, abortion rights supporters found legal rights meaningless without access. By 1973, Mississippi and Louisiana had no abortion providers, and by 1975, only 1 in 9 secular hospitals offered the procedure. The 1990s brought intensified clinic violence, with Operation Rescue organizing massive blockades while extremists committed arson, bombings, and murder. The killings of Dr. David Gunn in 1993 outside his Florida clinic and Dr. George Tiller in 2009 at his church represented anti-abortion activism's violent extreme. Simultaneously, opponents challenged medical authorities' credibility. When established organizations like the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists supported abortion access, opponents created alternative groups like the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Crisis pregnancy centers transformed from religious counseling centers into facilities mimicking medical clinics with ultrasounds and pregnancy testing. This conflict centered on a key question: who determines legitimate women's health care? Doctors, patients, legislators, or courts? The partial birth abortion debate further highlighted this authority struggle. After Republicans won the House in 1994, anti-abortion lobbyists pushed to ban dilation and extraction, DNX, which they branded partial birth abortion. Pro-lifery argued the procedure was disturbing enough for public judgment without expert input, while abortion rights advocates highlighted women like Colleen Costello, who underwent DNX after learning her unborn daughter had a fatal neurological disease. "We are the ones who know," Costello testified. The Supreme Court's abortion jurisprudence evolved significantly over decades. Roe established a trimester framework, giving physicians broad discretion early in pregnancy. By the late 1980s, with Reagan's appointees, many expected Roe's reversal. The 1992 Planned Parenthood v. Casey decision preserved what the plurality called Roe's essential holding: women's constitutional right to pre-viability abortion. However, Casey replaced the trimester framework with an undue burden standard, prohibiting regulations placing substantial obstacles in a woman's path. Casey's reasoning reflected how consequence-based arguments had reshaped constitutional discourse. The court preserved abortion rights partly by recognizing how reproductive control enabled women's equal citizenship in economic and social life. In Gonzalez v. Carhart, 2007, the court upheld the federal partial birth abortion ban despite its lack of a health exception, granting Congress wide discretion in areas of medical uncertainty. This progression from Roe to Casey to Gonzalez mirrored how both movements increasingly framed abortion around effects rather than abstract rights, with the court similarly shifting toward evidence-based cost-benefit analysis. After Roe, anti-abortion advocates proposed laws requiring husband and parental involvement in abortion decisions. These laws appealed to Americans concerned about family changes, rising divorce rates, acceptance of premarital sex, women's workforce participation, and emerging gay rights movements. The court struck down spousal consent requirements while allowing states to mandate parental consent with judicial bypass options for minors. Parental involvement laws became one of the anti-abortion movement's most successful campaigns, with 23 laws passed between 1974 and 1985. These restrictions garnered broader public support than outright bans and strengthened anti-abortion groups' alliance with Republicans. Casey rejected Pennsylvania's spousal notification requirement, citing domestic violence concerns. We must not blind ourselves to the fact that the significant number of women who fear for their safety and the safety of their children are likely to be deterred from procuring an abortion. These debates reflect competing family visions, one emphasizing traditional authority and parental rights, the other recognizing family dysfunction, domestic violence, and women's autonomy, representing fundamentally different understandings of what families should look like. As the debate entered the 21st century, both sides developed new framing strategies. After the 2010 Tea Party wave, state legislatures passed record numbers of abortion restrictions. Abortion rights groups countered with a war on women narrative, connecting abortion access to health care and equality. This proved effective. When Congress proposed defunding Planned Parenthood, the organization's Facebook following surged by 992%, and donations increased by 500%. Religious freedom debates intensified when the Affordable Care Act mandated contraceptive coverage. Some employers refused to subsidize what they viewed as abortion-inducing drugs, despite medical organizations disagreeing with this classification. The Supreme Court ultimately sided with religious businesses in Burwell v. Hobby Lobby. After 2010, abortion rights groups worked to destigmatize abortion through campaigns like #ShoutYourAbortion, which gained over 100,000 mentions in 24 hours when Amelia Bono shared her positive experience. Anti-abortion lawmakers created counter-hashtags like #ShoutYourAdoption. Despite increasing polarization, abortion rates declined to their lowest level since 1973, even as 288 new abortion restrictions were passed between 2010 and 2016, representing 27% of all restrictions since Roe. Some argued that overturning Roe might de-escalate the abortion conflict, with both Ginsburg and Scalia suggesting the court's ruling interrupted potential state-level compromises. However, recent history contradicts this view. The abortion conflict was polarized before Roe, and incremental restrictions haven't reduced its bitterness. The opposing sides maintain irreconcilable constitutional beliefs, with fundamental differences on teen independence, poverty assistance, healthcare delivery, and measuring abortion's impacts. As abortion returns to state legislatures after Dobbs, Americans continue debating not just its legality, but what kind of society we want. The conflict extends beyond constitutional interpretation to questions of gender equality, family structure, religious liberty, and bodily autonomy. The key lesson is that abortion politics encompasses our deepest values regarding autonomy, care, responsibility, and power. Until we acknowledge these deeper dimensions, we'll remain trapped in a cycle of polarization, fighting proxy battles that never address our fundamental disagreements about national identity.